Do you believe he's not done with you? Do you believe he's not done with us here today? Father, we know that there's so much more of you. Thank you, Father. Lay hands on him. If you have something in your body, healing situations, physical situations going on especially, come forth and allow God's touch to touch you. Amen. Step out in faith. That's what it's all about. I appreciate what our brother Dan had spoken Sunday school. You know, the three F's, fact, faith, and feeling, I think it was. Step out on faith. Because I'm going to tell you, the fact is God can heal you. Amen. And whatever your situation is. So, ladies, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father. Father, as your spirit has flowed through this place just now, Lord, and continues to flow, we thank you for all that it accomplishes. Father, those that have been prayed for, Father, we just thank you for as they receive that, Lord, let them walk it in faith, trusting and believing you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Don, for being sensitive. And as Rick was leaving and talked about courage, it took you courage to speak out. It takes a lot of things in God's realms of things. It takes the courage of us to step out, you know, and that faith. And we hear, but it's like, well, it's just me probably, but we hear and you got to launch out. And like I think Linda said back in Sunday school, it's like, you know, it's God that's going to show up. And if he's calling you to do it, you know, it'll be him, you know, and it's a practice, you know, we're just practicing and no different than what we talked earlier, but no different than what doctors do. Doctors practice. Why can't Christians practice the release of the Holy Spirit, the release of healing, and the things that God wants to do in the body? Amen. Because we know he wants a strong body, and many of us go through situations, and a lot of it is to take our eye off of the prize, take our eye off of the ball, take our positioning away from what God has us positioned, because we get so caught up in the things of the world and health situations. And if it's not, the enemy can't attack you. He will attack those around you. He'll attack things in your peripheral, whatever it is, just to continue to be there to get at you, because he knows that if he can get to that, he'll get to you eventually, or just that whole gnawing down and wearing down. And so it's that power of praying, of keep me strong, Lord, as I go through, you know, this battle, whatever it might be, coming out victorious. But praise God, he's the God. I am. I mean, one of the courses we had, I am, you know, he is the great I am. And so today we want to speak to that. We want to understand this a little bit. And earlier I talked about, I don't know what the title would be, I try to keep them short and sweet, but you know, you can get almost like a paragraph of a title, you know. But in the scripture that was brought to my attention this week, and I just kept reading it and rereading it in different versions and whatnot, and the chapter around it was in 2 Corinthians. And what I could get out of it is like, can the world tell that we don't belong here? And why is that? As we have come out of the world, how many here have come out of the world? Hopefully everybody raise their hands, because as child of Christ, as children of God, we have come out. And so we know that, you know that, but can the world around you tell you that? God's word says this, and we're going to just hit a few scriptures here. You don't have to turn to them if you want to write them down. But John 15:19, and some of this is going to be out of the New Living, but it says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. The world loved you back when it had you. You know why? So it can use you and abuse you and take things from you and say, hey, we like you. But the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world, it says. I chose you, Jesus, I chose you to come out of the world. So guess what? The world hates you. And if the world hated him, the world's going to hate who? You. Because why? You should represent who? Him. And if you represent him that the world detests, count it all joy, hallelujah. The world's going to detest little old Tim, because I'm not of this world. My kingdom is his. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. We get into that. We like to copy things, don't we? That's kind of our nature. We copy things. You know, if you want to be good, copy what's being good. Bad thing is, some of the things that are being good are really bad that we try to copy, and especially those things of the world. Romans 12:2, so don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Let who? God. We try to do that ourselves, and guess where the failure begins? with us. I try to transform myself. I will be a good Christian. I will do these things. I will change this in my life. I'm going to do... But it's not that at all, really. It says here, God will transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Renewing of the mind. Many things start and develop and end right here. It's what you're thinking of. But he'll change the way that you think. Once you can change the way that you think, you will begin to change the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the things that you do. Because once your mind gets changed to the things of his kingdom, things are going to change. Don't you believe that? Amen. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is, it ends with this, good and pleasing and perfect. You know, how many times, and maybe some of you here today go, I just wish I knew what God's will was for my life. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. So give God a chance. Come out of the world. Make a difference. Show the difference. Be different, you know. And Colossians says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. It's really easy, though, to think of the things of the earth. Why? Because they're around us all the time. It's everywhere, everywhere. In the natural, the seasons that change, the things that we hear, the things that we see in the stores, the things that we hear on the radio or on the news or in movies or in politics and even in our churches, you know. It's things that we're just around, and we will absorb those things, and those things will come into us. But think about the things of heaven above those things. Amen. You know, when everything gets doomed and gloomed and so many things are happening and just like yuck, it's like, I still know there's victory. I know there's victory coming. I know there's a better time coming. I know even within me, it's better than what it was before when I was what? In the world. And now I'm out of the world. And I rejoice because of that. And I thank God for that. And I thank him for the word that I read throughout his scriptures and the words that have been put in here that reminds us of who God is in our lives. And really who we are in God's eyes. We're his beloved. I'm my beloved and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved and he is mine. He loves us. He loves us. And in John 17:16, one last one here says, they do not belong to this world any more than I do. Tim, you don't belong to this world any more than I did. Get that in your thought. Get that in your heart. Get that in your mind. The world is going to think you're peculiar. The world's going to think you're wacko. The world's going to think all kinds of things about you, Tim. But it doesn't matter what the world thinks about you. You know what matters, Tim? Yeah. It matters what you think about me, God. And your will for me is good, and it's pleasing, it's perfect. So as I come out of these scriptures, I realize that I'm not of this world any longer. We've got to make that forefront of our walk day in and day out. Because the world would like to come back in and take away. The world would like to come in, and it does many times, to steal your joy. It'll come back in to steal your healing. the enemy out there is just out there seeking who he can steal, kill, and destroy, you know. And that's the thing of healings. When people have been healed of whatever it might be, a continued prayer is, Lord, continue to keep that healing, you know, strong and keep that faith there, Lord, because don't let them go. What on that F, the three Fs? we'll pay Dan's three Fs, you know, faith, fact, and feelings, you know. Well, you know, fact, Jesus is Lord. By his stripes we are healed. Faith, I'm going to take it for that. Feeling, I got prayed for this healing on my back, and I still got this pain. I still feel the pain. I guess I'm not healed. No, you can't go by the feeling, because the enemy can only work on your feelings. He can only come in and mirror something. He can only copy something. He can't put those things upon you and create these things, but he can sure amplify it or say, oh, if you're thinking about it, let me really let you help you think about it even more. And every time you turn over, ow. Every time you sit down, ow. Ow. You know, maybe when we sit down, ow should be, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm healed, you know. And now I'm just saying, manifest that healing. We sing a song, manifest your presence, you know. We pray, manifestation. We ask him, manifest yourself amongst us, Lord. Hallelujah. Manifest, come in. We say, Lord, heal of this. And Lord, now I just pray manifestation of healing take place, supernatural, renewing, revitalization, regrowth, whatever the case is, but begin to allow it to manifest, Father God. Hallelujah. And while it's manifesting, I'm going to praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. Because I've got the victory. We have the victory through Him. But I am not of this world any longer. Something happened when I received Jesus as my Savior. Probably the same thing kind of like to you too, huh? But what I was looking at in 2 Corinthians 6, what started this, and maybe we'll go back in a little bit here, but it goes into the marks of the ministry is the heading of my Bible here in the New King James of 2 Corinthians 6. And here's what also tripped my trigger a little bit. It's like, okay, when then as workers together with Him also plead with you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. And we'll touch upon that, I think, towards the end. But that salvation, the things that you were received by that of God, don't receive it in vain and turn away from it and don't use it and don't go back and don't lose it to false teachings and other doctrines out there that wants to destroy and take away from the true power of God's Word. But we might get there. So I was reading that, and what happened is, like I said, I started in 2 Corinthians 6, 17-ish or there, or maybe the 11th as I was reading through there. You know, old Corinthians, verse 11, we have spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. See, when we deal with things in our walk and things in life, we are affected by our own ways of doing things. When we take that away from God and we go by our affections, our feelings, chances are it could end up going down the wrong path. But we continue to read on, and it talks about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Then verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God to do with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. God has said. Now, are you the temple of God today? Are you? One last time. Are you the temple of God this day? Are you thinking it through? You're putting too much thought in it? I don't know. You've got to come out with a resounding amen. Yes, I am the temple of God. Why is that? Because I'm a child of God. Why is that? Because I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. So things have changed within me. I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. I find encouragement, and this is coming out of Isaiah. You can go back to look in Isaiah. We might get there too, where this is kind of being replayed out of. But I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I love it. So let's just make it down. I will dwell in Tim, and I will walk with Tim. I will be Tim's God, and Tim shall be my son or daughter or people. That's how you get this word to become personal to you, to stand on it, so that you can go through the battles that come about anyway, because we're still here. You know, we're not in a perfect world setting, but we can be perfect. Not as we are perfect, but by as He is perfect. Are mature in those things. And we look at that perfecting as that of maturity and growing into those things of God. But to become mature, we go through things. We go through testings. The testings of the things that even some of you today that came up for prayer, testings of your faith, testings of where you're at. Are you going to pass the test? Yes! Speak it. They will pass the test. Hallelujah. They're going to trust you. They're going to believe that the prayer for today was for today, that it was that opportune time for the Spirit of God to come down and minister into that situation. Hallelujah. And things will change. It doesn't take a large church setting. It doesn't take, before God shows up, you better have 1,000 people there. You know, God doesn't want to go to small venues, you know. Now, in the natural, you know, men and organizations and all, you call them and say, hey, we got a church and we're on fire and the Spirit is falling and we'd like for you to come and minister. And they go, well, how many's there? We got 22. Oh, wow. 22? Just to get us there is going to cost you $5,000. I go, what? Well, you got to pay our travel expenses. You got to put us up. We got to do this. We got to, what? But, you know, you go, well, we got a meeting of about 3,500 to 5,000 people. We'll be there tomorrow. You know? Aren't you glad that God is not like man? Aren't you glad? Oh, God is like, there's three there. I'll be amongst you, you know. Where three are gathered, there am I, you know. And when I tell you what, guys, when I'm by myself here in the car or whatever, and I feel the power of God come on and says, well, wherever three or more are gathered in my name, I'm saying, oh, well, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Tim. There's four of us here. Hallelujah. Join us, God. You know, come on in. You know, it's those things. But where we get, and that's where I think God was looking at. He's like, you know, we got to be careful because looking in the natural, God already knew that man looks in the natural at the numbers. And that for anything to accomplish in the natural, you've got to have a lot of people. You got to have a lot of bodies. You got to have a lot of whatever. And God is saying, you know what? If it's just me and you and the Holy Spirit and the power of what I've got, it's enough. Amen. And so we look at that. And so he doesn't come to churches because there's a certain number. He comes to the churches that are hungry, that are welcoming of him. Hallelujah. Hungry for the Spirit, welcoming of the Spirit, asking for the power of God to fall, asking for God to come and have his way with his followers. We just come to say, here we are, Lord. Have at it. Thank you, Father. Oh, anyway. And now we haven't got there yet where I wanted to get to. But it says in 17, therefore, here it is, guys. Come out from among them and be separate. Says who? Paul? Tim? You? No, the Lord. The Lord says, come out from among them, Tim. Be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. We received back at 6:1. Remember that salvation and the things that we were given there. Don't, it says here, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it and then lose it. Don't receive it and not do something with it. Don't receive it and just put it on the bookshelf for 25 years later down in your life while you do other things in your life now while you want to do what you want to do. And then at 52 or 58 or 62, I'm going to pull that out now and say I'm going to be a part of it. No, once you received it in the very beginning, hold on to that book. Amen. Don't put that, what you received, in vain. Don't put it back on the shelf. Don't fall for false teachings. Don't go away from what God's Word says. Now, do you not know that today, and it has been there from the very beginning of time, that there's words and there's people and there's organizations and things out there that want to detract from the Word of God? They want to say it's fallible. It's not true. It's just men writing a storybook. It's this, it's that, whatever the case might be. We find that, that's okay with the world saying that, but then we find out in some of our Christian circles, well, I guess they're not really Christian per se, but in our religious circles, that sometimes we find churches that are taking the God's Word and they're destroying it and taking it out page by page or whatever it is that doesn't line up with whose values? God's values or their values? Their values. It doesn't line up with my values, so to make my value affirming and right, I'll just do away with what God says. And this is what we're going to focus on. And there's a lot of churches doing that. This church could do that if we don't stay close to God. If any one of us comes with some wackiness and it comes into me and it, you know, festers and it's a little leaven, you know, leaven's the whole loaf, you know. If that gets in, we can go off of that way too. But it takes continuation of being in His presence, a continuation of being in His Word, a continuation of following Him, listening to Him, allowing Him to correct us, correct me, put me on the path and keep me on that path. And when I get wacky, I pray and hope that the Holy Spirit, by that of the Spirit of God, will just come into me and convict me and say, Tim, you're going wacky. And hopefully I hear that before some of you come to me and say, Tim, you're going wacky. And if that happens, I can stand before you a few weeks out and say, folks, I was going wacky, but I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I said, I was going down the wrong path. I was bringing out things or showing things or talking to this or doing that or whatever the case might be that wasn't truly that of God. And so it's all of us. We are charged, all of us, not just pastors, but you are the church. Hallelujah. You are to go out and spread the good news. Once we receive, don't receive, what did it say in 6:1 and 2? Don't receive it in vain. Don't go away from it. Don't forget what it is that got you where you're at. Don't forget what got you to be separate. The receiving of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior sets me on a path that is totally different than that of what? The world. My path is no longer the world. My path is His path. It's in His kingdom. So guess what? I guess that means I'm what? Separate. I'm separate. Well, hallelujah. That ought to make you just be, you know, don't be prideful, but be pride. But it ought to make you be happy to go, isn't it great that somebody can come up to you and say, you know what, you are not of this world. And you're not, you know, you're not standing on top of a church steeple and all that and all this stuff, you know. You're just walking down the street and somebody comes to you, because there'll be those that come to you like they did for our sister here, Janice, saying, do you pray? She was drawn to her to pray. There'll be those that might be drawn to you just to say, you know, there's something different about you. I just sense it when I walk by. I don't know what it is. And they just keep walking. It's not that they were there to pray or anything. That might have been God just saying, you know what, Tim, I'm going to let you know that you're different. And here's that person's going to tell you, don't even know you from Adam. They're just going to say, there's something different about you. Interesting. And go on. I've shared this many times back, and a long time back, but it's only happened one time. So I'm just wondering about this, guys. And I've shared it, and you've heard it before, and I'll just touch base on it real quick, is when I was in the secular world and working, and I was at a store in another town, and I was standing out in the main aisle or the back aisle, and I was just standing there, and this lady came by, and I was standing there by a table or a bin or whatever, and she was a customer, and she just stopped, and she just looked at me and stopped. She goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? I didn't have a cross on. I wasn't carrying a Bible. I had my name badge on, you know, tie and whatever. And she just, and I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And that's all she said. I was like, would you pray for me? Or whatever. She goes, you're a Christian. I said, yes, ma'am. And I go, attend church. You know, we're this and that and what we're doing, you know. And then she just left. And I go, what was that? It's like somebody put a note on my back or something. Like, you know, isn't that your first thing? Okay, who patted me on the back, said, good job, you know, here, kick him. Why am I getting kicked? What's going on? In all of the years and the times, that's the only time that's ever happened. Now, at times, it draws me back to, like, why isn't it happening more often? You know, now, see, my mind starts getting in there, like, well, what aren't you doing now that you were doing then? And I go, I don't know what I was doing then that caused that to happen. Or was it just at the time in the season in my life that I needed to hear that for the trajectory that God had me on? And that it's like, because, you know, you walk away from something like that, you know, not like, ooh, you know, like Superman, but you kind of go like, Superman, you know, not like it, but like it, you know. But it's like, that's good. That's good. Good that somebody could walk by you and just say, you're a Christian. Come out from among them and be separate. I would pray that, and it hasn't happened since, but I would say, Lord, wow, that would be a wonderful testimony of a person's life if you can just be in a crowd and somebody, a stranger, comes up and says, you're a follower of God. You're a child of the King. Now, I guess I was so taken back, I should have asked her, are you a Christian or are you the devil? You know, because the devil knows too, you know. You know? I was like, be careful, don't turn your back on that lady. But I took it at the time as an affirmation of God. One of those well done, good and faithful servant things. And I'm totally not perfect, so that's okay there, you know. Let you be known of that. But anyway, I think God does those things to speak to you. And He will speak to you through other people, right? We are His hands, His feet. We're the only Bible people will read. Be separate from the people. And see, if we, as and here's the problem with our churches. Our churches are getting to the point where they're blending in with the world really good. And they're not even being able to tell what is a church and what is not a church anymore. You know, we have churches that don't want anything to do with a cross on front of their building. we got churches that don't want anything of just, they just want some kind of a name that just kind of makes it like, you know, I saw that sometime. There was a parody out there of churches trying to hide that they're a church and what names they use now, you know. And it's like you look at it and go, what is that, you know. And we find that on one hand, we've got some people say, well, that way it makes it where the world will come in because they know that they won't go in if there's a cross there because they don't know what that is. So they'll just go in there. So do you want people to come in blindsided? They sit down and they think they're coming for, you know, bingo. And all of a sudden you say, open your scriptures now and here's what we're going to do. They're like, wait a minute, false advertising. No, we as the church, we need to be recognized in the community as that of what? A church. You know, we don't have a steeple, but we got a little spear thing out there. It's got a cross on it. We've got a cross on the front wall and things of that nature. But what is wrong with being identified with Christ? Nothing. What is wrong with being saying, we are the church, set for this time, to be placed here for a reason, to be the light in a dark place. Hallelujah. To be that light in that place. And it doesn't take, as you can see, it's not a big, massive flashlight, but you can see it when I shine it. So here again, why do we, as a church body in general, the church at large, why do we feel it's a need to blend in with the world so that we'll get the world into us? It seems a lot of times when you talk to somebody that comes into the church, they're coming in, they're saying, I'm looking for something different. There's got to be something different than what's going on out there in the world. And so I think that's where when they see the church and they see a cross and they see Jesus, they see the things, the blood and the sacrifice, all this, that they ought to know that I am in a place that is different than Pontiac Convention Center or, you know, whatever arena or whatever the case might be, you know. The world, when the time comes for them to come back to that remnant, they're going to be looking for the remnant that stands out. And the only way that a remnant stands out is that it's got to be what? Different. It's got to be separate. They've got to know that there's something there that is different. The Holy Spirit, and here's the thing, the Spirit of God will draw them to these places. Hallelujah. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So I was drawn to verse 17. Come out from among them and be separate. Separate. To keep apart. To set apart. To make a distinction. If any time in history that the church needs to be separate and distinct and set apart with all the foolishness that's going on, as much as the enemy is rearing its head day in and day out of the things going forth, the church has to be what? Strong and where it's at. It's got to be strong in its stance. It's got to be, we are a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost follower, tongue-talking, whatever the case is, you know, throw out the description of what you want to be, but you have that when people say, you know, you have people call the church and go, what kind of church is it? What do you believe? It kind of takes me off guard because I was not raised denominationally. I was not raised in church. I didn't really start attending church per se until I started dating my wife, and I went to church because I could see her. And guess what? Jesus happened to be there too. Go figure. You know? It's like, I ain't coming here to see Jesus. I'm coming here to be with Dean, you know? But he was there too. And so somehow I ended up getting to know him too. Like, oh, who are you? Jesus. Now, I've always prayed to God, even when I was a child and growing up. I believe there was God. I believe the Creator. I wasn't way out there of Antichrist or anything like that, but I just didn't attend. My parents didn't take me. But as I got in and began to grow into these things, I began to see things that were different and things that stood out. And things have to change in a person. And so as we begin to follow this in our path of our life, things have to be different in us. But I'm so thankful that Jesus was there. And then he kind of come along with us, you know, through all kinds of different means and stuff like that. But it worked out, praise God, toward the end here, so far is doing well. With my following of him and changing of my life, it totally, totally changed the direction of my life. But to be separate, to set apart, keep apart, to make a distinction. So in verse 14 to 19, as we look at 14 to 19 in Colossians here, or Corinthians, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, Paul is urging believers not to form partnerships with unbelievers because this might weaken their Christian commitment, their integrity, or their standards. I know a lot of times we feel like I've been turned on with God and I'm on fire for him and I'm going to go back out there and I'm going to get people where I was at and I'm going to bring them back to where I'm at. Oh, many, many times the people go out back into those situations and guess where they end up staying? Back in those situations. For a very number of reasons. And it's not to say not to go back in when you are ready to go back in when God calls you back in, but to sit there and say, hallelujah, I'm a new creation. Jesus took my sins and I'm on fire and I'm going to go serve. I'm going to go save those that are where I was at, you know, because they need him too. Yes, they do need him too. But a lot of times when you get back in there, it's like you're going back into the enemy's camp and the enemy will just take it away from you if you're not watchful and careful of it. Unless Jesus, by the Spirit's leading, saying, go and share. So Paul is saying this. You've got to be careful. They might weaken your commitment. I've seen that. Have you not seen Christians you thought were solid Christians? A season or two or three go by and something happens and you lose touch with them and they've lost touch with the church and you see them out and you're asking or you find out, well, how's it going? Where are you at? What's the church at you're at now? And they go, oh, I'm not going anywhere. I've stopped all of that stuff. I always try to figure out why, you know. But you got to be careful about this of unbelievers because they could make you or cause you to weaken your commitment, your integrity, your standards. Now, he's not saying that we need to isolate ourselves. That's by no means what he is saying. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. You know, we need to go out. You need to share. You need to be that light. So it's not to say that, but you've got to separate yourself. You've got to be aware of what you're going into. You're going back into, well, for lack of a better term, the enemy's area, the arena of the world. You know, you're going out there to share the gospel, the good news. And it can be done, and it is done, and there's a lot of good results from that. But Paul is just telling them, be careful. Separate yourself. 6:1 and 2, you know, don't receive the grace of God in vain. So we are to actively be believers. We as active believers with our witness, we need to go out with those of the unbelievers to show them the difference for sure. But don't get personal with them. Don't get into connections with them and tie into things with them because chances are the things that you're tying into could weaken or destroy you as well. In verse 17, it talks about separation from the world involves more than just keeping our distance from sinners. It means this. It means stay close to God. How many times do we not stay close to God? And you know yourself when you don't stay close to God, what happens? Huh? If we don't stay close to God, something sneaks in and gets between God and us. But something will come in and take that time away or take your focus off of God. It relates to not just spreading ourselves from or separating ourselves from worldly things, but it extends to how or what we are doing, our time, the finances, our talents, all these things that God has gifted us with and put within us, is what are we doing with them? Are we using them wisely? We've got to be looking at that. Your times and your finances, your talents, you know, where are you at in the kingdom of God? You know, we find a lot of people separate themselves from the church. They just, whatever reason, they don't come for whatever times of weeks or whatever the case might be or situations are going on and they're gone from the church and the church is looking like, I hope so-and-so is doing okay. And they don't realize how many times people in the church, when they miss people not being there, they come to the pastor and they go, is something wrong with so-and-so or is everything okay? Or, you know, the case might be. And a lot of times the pastor is about as clueless as you are going, I don't know. You know, they're gone. I haven't heard from them, you know, or whatever the case might be. And so we don't understand, but we do understand. And that's where that separation, I think, you know, oh my gosh, don't separate from the church. Stay with the church, but separate yourself from what? That of the world. I need to look at 2 Corinthians 6:1 real quick. As God's partners, we are working together. We beg you, as Paul is saying here, not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness or his grace and then ignore it. Amplified would say this, by turning away from sound doctrine in his merciful kindness, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. You remember that time when you cried out for Jesus? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I'm going to tell you, you've got to know that the minute that you went to that altar call, that minute that you were at home watching some service on TV, minute you heard some Christian song and it just hit you in the spirit and all of a sudden you, I need that. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart. It talks about this here that at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. All of us at just the right time. See, many of us, we don't all come to Christ at age 13, 17, 22, 23. All of us in this room today have come to him at a different age level, right? But I'm going to tell you, it was the time set that he was there and he knew at just the right time that, you know, he would let you go as low as you wanted to go, but he's always going to be there to be hearing you say, helping me, crying out, help me now, Lord. I come to you, Jesus. If there is a God, help me out of this situation, whatever the case might be. He heard those things at just the right time. The right time is now. The right time is any time for salvation, isn't it? When the Spirit of God calls upon that person, when the Spirit of God falls. Today, if nothing else, There's some other scriptures here of, as an example, 2 Timothy 3:14 talks about continuing what you've learned. We are learning daily. You know, as society is learning things, knowledge all the time is just growing and growing. You are doing that same thing in the understandings of the things of God, of the kingdom. You're learning every day if you're hooked up to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Amen? And so continue what you've learned. That's kind of like a heading over that, 2 Timothy 3:14. 1 Timothy 4:1 says about do not depart from the faith. You know, don't depart from this that have been put in you, but the faith, you know, my faith, feelings, in fact. 1 John 4:1. You know, be it that of the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So all of these things work within us and to help us through that of God's Word to keep us grounded into what we need to be doing, amen, in His kingdom. In His kingdom, not your kingdom. So if nothing else out of today, can the world tell that you just don't belong here? And I hope so. But it's so important that we get to that level of that people can tell that we're not from here. It's almost like, you know, from us, go down south and talk. What do the people tell you? Y'all not from around here, are you? No, I'm not. You know, go up to New England, you know, talk like that. Like, yeah, we're just here in New England to see. And they go, you know, you're not from around here. We're not from around this world any longer. We're here passing through, and we're here to be whatever God wants us to do. Amen. And to be a benefactor of what He's going to bless us with, and we're going to serve Him, and we're going to be strong for Him. Amen. Just think about it this week. Come out from among them and be separate, and I will receive you. It's not a favorable thing sometimes to come out of the world and to leave some of the world. Because, you know, the sad thing is sometimes, guys, is some of that is even within your own family. You know, Jan, lady here will attest to that. You come into the things of Christ and let Christ come into your life, and all of a sudden you've lost your earthly family. It's because, like, they don't want anything to do with that. You know, and so it takes a courage and an understanding that there may be some things that you lose in this world, but you gain wonderful blessings in the kingdom of God. And we never know that down the line, those that maybe left us or separated themselves from us may come around, and, you know, as those times and the seasons and things like that. But sometimes there's a hard choice that you got to make. And, you know, like in the Old Testament says, you know, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you say that, it could cause some things like, you know, you got to make some changes and separations of things to not tie into what used to be. But you still need to be there to be that light and that example. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you and we ask your blessings continue to be with us on this day. Father, as we go forth, that we would have by that of the Spirit, Lord, just bring it back to us, Lord, that the importance of being separate from this world and to give you all, Father, and that we're just sold out for you. We do thank you that you have us in this place. We thank you, Lord, that we'll be that light and that salt. We thank you, Lord, that what we can share with those around us will bring life and not death, Father, that, Lord, it's your righteousness and holiness and grace that we are benefactors of, that we can share that with those around us, Father. But, Lord, let us just be that example and let people see a difference in us in a way that, if nothing else, it'll create a conversation to start. And by that, Lord, the Spirit will just come in and we'll just be able to minister whatever word that person needs to hear at that time. For, well, Lord, we're just serving you and just want to be honor you, Lord, with our lives. We thank you, Father, for this time now and that you would go with us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. On a day-by-day basis. That everything anyway is yours anyway, Lord. We just are to be stewards of it. And so bless the giver, bless that which is given. We thank you, Lord, that every need is met over and above and continues to be met here at this church, Lord, to continue to minister your word into the lives of people that are here. Again, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.